If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in several different places, but where I would like to start, where the message was birthed in my heart, is Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I will go ahead and tell you this morning, I don't know how long I'll be, but on purpose this morning, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to say some things that need to be said and that we need to soak in as God's people. It's not an easy time that we're living in. It is a time of great turmoil, and I believe darkness is settling in. And I want to say some things I believe will encourage you. That is my prayer, and that we can be what God wants us to be in the middle of it all. In Romans chapter 13, in verse number 1, the Word of God said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." Now that's my message today. No power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. Thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You must needs be subject, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing." Please pray with me and pray for me. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for each one that's gathered here at Bible Way Baptist Church, for those, Lord, that will hear the message in the days ahead. Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing, that God, you would give us some direction in the darkness as God's people. Lord, we may be encompassed by darkness, but we're not walking in darkness. We're walking in the light, as he is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I pray today, Lord, that you would help this pastor to help his people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What's happened this week in America has not happened in a vacuum. It's not happened in a closet. I want to make a statement before I start into the message today. Anarchy is anarchy, regardless of where it's coming from. Regardless if it's coming from the right, the left, or the middle. Anarchy for God's people, I believe, according to Scripture, is wrong. Amen? Bear with me. I'm going to say some things today that I believe will be a help and show you what that I mean. I believe it's impossible to be a good Christian and a bad citizen at the same time. I believe that there are ways to overcome, and I'll say more about this later, but this scripture teaches us not to overcome evil with evil, but to overcome evil with good. I'll give you an example of something God put in my heart. There was a picture, and I don't know this man. I know his name is out now, and I know that he's been arrested. But there was a picture. You can get mad at me today if you want to, but you'll have to get in line. Amen. I'm going to speak some truth. There was a picture of a man sitting in Nancy Pelosi's office. And the man was had his feet up on the chair, and he was kind of pointing, you know, like, "I'm here now." I think it would have been good if you really felt like you needed to break into the Capitol, which I don't think that was right, what would it have been if someone would have posted an image of somebody at her desk on his knees praying? I'm going to say some things today that I think need to be said, but I want you to approach it through the Holy Spirit. Let Him speak to our hearts. It may come in America. If something doesn't change, it may come to a literal bloodbath. I'm ready. I'm willing to stand for what is right. I'm not a coward. But at the same time, I believe as we approach, if we're headed that way, that God's people have an obligation to look into the Scripture and to see some examples in Scriptures of how that people reacted in times of great persecution, in times of great wrongdoing. I want to remind you that Nero was on the throne when Paul was writing this. Probably one of the wickedest men that ever walked the face of the earth. Think about some things with me today. Our responsibility as Christians. I'm just going to give you some things quickly. I wrote down three things. According to the Scripture and what I just read, we're to accept and to recognize the powers that be to be ordained of God. We're to accept that and to recognize that. I want to stop and flip-flop that for just a moment. What would it be in Washington, D.C., regardless of which side of the aisle that you're on, what would it be if every man and every woman recognized that I'm here because there's a God in heaven that's allowed me to be here and sought His face. Beloved, there was a time when many more in America, in politics, so to speak, sought the face of God concerning decisions, concerning their own attitude towards other men, concerning their nation. What would it be if they realized the Bible said here, there is no power but of God. Brother Grizzle, what if every one of them realized they can't even breathe without Him, let alone conduct the business for the people of the United States of America? I'm telling you, it would change things, would it not? It would make people want to be careful what they say concerning their fellow man. I believe with all of my heart we need to accept and recognize the powers that be to be ordained of God. There's no power but of God. I'm going to give you some things in a moment I believe will help you to see that. And then the second thing, a Christian's responsibility is to pay taxes. Now you say, Pastor, well, there are people in America that have went to jail because they refused to pay their taxes. And I'm going to tell you, I'll be first in line to tell you that I'm not always thrilled with what they're doing with the money that we send in taxes. But the Word of God said down here in verse number 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, a continual above this very thing. It is the responsibility of the government, beloved, to protect, to punish, and to promote. To protect, to punish. You say, Preacher, do you really believe there needs to be a prison system? Yes, I do. Do you really believe in the death penalty? Yes, I do. The government is supposed to promote. It's supposed to be for the people. It's supposed to promote the well-being of the nation. So to pay taxes, that's one of the responsibilities. Turn back over to Matthew just a moment. Matthew chapter number 17. In verse number 24, I'll begin reading, and they were come to Capernaum. They that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, then shalt thou find a piece of money. That take and give unto them. Watch this now. For me and thee. Do you believe that's in the Bible just by accident? Or by providence. God, our Lord never, I love this about our Lord. He doesn't require something of us that he's not willing to do himself. And I believe those are the best servants in the church, the best pastors, the best deacons, would never require of someone else something that they wouldn't be willing to do themselves. Of course, I'd be willing to cook, but it'd be a lot better if you just let Miss Eve do it. Amen? You're going to have to do an awful lot of training if you're going to get me to do it. But I would be willing. Amen? I'd put a whole lot of fat in whatever it was and feed it to Brother Rick. Pay taxes. Look at Matthew 22 for just a moment. In verse number 21, the Word of God said, they say unto him, Caesar's. Well, let's look at verse 20. He saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They said, it's Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled, and they left him and went their way. So the Christian's responsibility is to accept and recognize the powers that be, that they're ordained of God. We're to pay taxes. And then turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And verse number 1. Paul is speaking to the young preacher. Paul had led this young man to Christ himself. He said, I exhort, therefore, that let me back up into verse number 15 of chapter 1. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. So Paul is telling Timothy, therefore, God is using my life to be a pattern. Mom and Dad, your life ought to be a pattern for your children to follow, for your grandchildren to follow. And the Word of God said here, he's a pattern. Then he comes into chapter 2 and says, I exhort therefore, because God has told us, God has shown us, God has allowed us to live as a pattern, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Who is there this morning that you refuse to pray for? There should be none. All men. Watch this. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Keep all these things in mind, please, as we go into the text today. Accept and recognize the powers that be ordained of God. We pay our taxes. We pray for those that are in authority over us. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 37 for just a moment. At Psalm chapter 37, we're not going to go through the whole chapter. It's not been too long ago. As I looked at my Bible this morning, I circled the word wicked, transgressor, in that chapter, that workers of iniquity. I circled all that because this chapter is full of evildoers. What I'm afraid is that many of God's people in America right now are guilty of what's going on in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Let me stop for just a moment. I can pray for the President of the United States, the one that's to be President of the United States, and at the same time say it's evil to promote abortion. It's evil to promote sodomy. I'm going to say this. You don't have to like it, but it's evil to promote a society that rewards those that will not work while taking from those that do work. I'm not talking about disability. I'm not talking about someone that's unable to work. I'm talking about those that are unwilling to work. God said they shouldn't eat. I don't go through this Bible and pick and choose what I'm going to believe, beloved. God said if a man won't work, let him starve. You say, "Preacher, that's harsh." That's Bible. I'm going to guarantee you one thing right now. If it was put in place, when I was climbed up in those trees last week, somebody driving up and down the road, are you listening to me? And the government taking care of them, if they were hungry, they'd stop and say, "Can I help you, mister? Can I help you with that brush? I'm hungry." I'd have said, "Yeah, you can help me, but let's feed you first." Amen. The Bible said for you and I, look at verse 2. "They shall soon be cut down." You say, "Pastor, this country is full of people that are on the wrong side of the Word of God." And I know that, and I understand that. But I also understand, Brother Aaron, they shall soon be cut down. Do I glory in that? No. I'm supposed to pray for them that they would change. That they would understand that their powers that be are ordained of God. By the way, it's long been forgotten. I told my wife coming to church this morning, it ought to be against the law for a man to go to Washington, D.C. and come out a millionaire, let alone a billionaire. Somebody say amen. You take the money out of the equation and maybe we would get some servants back. I believe that's one reason that many of God's men in America have stopped preaching. They're too concerned about a dollar bill. You say, "Pastor, you've got to live." No, 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 no. First, I've got to preach. And God will take care of His men. He will take care of His people. Read it in Psalm 37. I once was old, young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. A man that will not preach because he's afraid somebody will cut off his dollar bill is a hireling. He's not a man of God. Brother Jack stood in this pulpit over yonder in the old church and here for a little while, for years and years and years and years. We put a man's picture up there. Brother Don McCann has stood for years and years and years and years. God has taken care of them. Yes, but they've never let that be the thing that guided them in their preaching. The Spirit of God. The Bible said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell the house of Israel their transgression and my people their sin. By the way, let me just say this. Don't take it the wrong way. It's truth. Judgment must first begin. Not at the White House. Not at what they call the people's house. But at God's house. How much praying have we done? Let me just stop and say this right quick. If you watch any news at all, you know that Facebook and Twitter. I'm just going to say this morning. I had an account with Facebook. Many people in this church, I've got friends' suggestions. In other words, they're able to see who you interact with. Listen to me carefully. I never used it. I told you before, I don't have time. You said, preacher, why did you even sign up for it? I needed a phone number. That's the only way I could get it. But last night, I deleted the account. It is not right to silence the voices of those that you do not agree with. And I cannot tell you what to do, but I would ask you to pray about trading Facebook for Facebook. Hello! You think you're going to be proud when you stand before God of the minutes that you've spent in His book? When you compare it to the minutes and hours that you've spent on Facebook? You say, Pastor, I wouldn't say that. That's why I'm standing here and you're sitting there. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, listen, there's hope. There's hope. You say, well, preacher, they got people all around the world. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not going to support something that's wicked. And it's wicked to try to silence a group of people. We live in America. I believe the only thing that's going to hurt that outfit is dollar bills. You say, Pastor, I have to have it. I'm telling you, it's time to start counting the cost. It costs something to stand for what's right. Amen. It costs something to stand for what's right. If you'll look at the latter part of chapter 12 in the book of Romans. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at the latter part for just a moment. Listen, I am just getting through with the introduction. I don't want to scare you this morning, but God's given me something to say, and we're going to go there and say it. Watch what the Word of God said in the latter part of verse number 12, of chapter 12. The Bible said in verse number 14, bless them which persecute you and curse not. Notice what the Word of God said here in verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. Now listen, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. I don't know how long that's going to be possible, but as long as it's possible, that's what I want to do. The Word of God said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He said, Pastor, what do you think happened in the last election? Was it stolen? I don't know. Was it crooked? I do know. I do know. You say, Pastor, how can you know that? Because listen, beloved, the Constitution of the United States leaves the election rules and guidelines up to that state that's represented. The representatives in that state are to decide that. And beloved, that was circumvented in several states. It's kind of like the old adage, if you ask enough people the same question, somebody will give you the answer that you want to hear. So if you go in that state over here where you know that they line up with what you're wanting to do, you'll probably get the answer that you're wanting to hear. I mean, I'm not stupid. When you chase everybody out of a room and say, we're done for the night. Most of them were done for the night. But some of them were just getting started. You say, Pastor, you're saying all this and then you're still saying we ought to obey God? Yes! It is never right to do wrong. Never right to do wrong. The Lord's going to teach us something here in a moment. Stay with me. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil. I'm afraid, Brother Ralph, that's what's happening in our country. I believe that many good people, many of them are God-fearing people. Some of them are not God-fearing people. But I believe many good people are being overcome of evil. And they're not overcoming evil with good. I'll show you in a minute. Romans 13, verse 1 and verse 2. Here's how the message was birthed in my heart. The Bible said the powers that be ordained of God, there is no power but of God. You see that right there? No power but of God. Take your Bible, please, and turn back with me to John chapter number 19. Is there anyone in the house this morning that would agree with me that we're living in a dark time? We're living in a time when good is called evil. And evil is called good. In John chapter number 19, I want you to just be asking yourself this question. Was there ever a time that it could have been any darker? In John chapter 19, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now you read that, and if you're not careful, you just go right on to verse number 2. How many of you are well aware of what a scourging is? The cat of nine tails, little pieces of broken pottery, little pieces of stone, little pieces of metal. And every time they hit a man with that, it jerks hunks of flesh out of his back. I ran across this in my studies this week, Brother Grizzle. I should have known this, but if you were being flogged of the Jews, they had to stop at the 39 stripes. Brother Grizzle, he wasn't flogged of the Jews. He was flogged of the Romans. God only knows how many times they hit him. I want to ask you a question. In the middle of all of this, would you not be standing there saying, Herod, he's wicked. Pilate, he's wicked. The chief priests, they're wicked. Anybody with me so far? It's dark. Well, let me tell you something in the story. It's fixing to get darker. God's going to turn the lights out from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. There's never been a time any darker than what we're looking at right here. But watch this. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, put it on his head. They put on a purple robe. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. You find in another place, Brother Michael, they blindfolded him. Said, "Prophesy, who hit you?" I'll tell you, before the foundation of the world, he knew who would have their fists balled up. He knew who would betray him and sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. Pilate therefore went forth again, saith unto him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe. Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him. Take ye him, crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, said, "We have a law. By our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. He went into the judgment hall and he said to Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Look at verse number 11. Beloved, listen, there's something to be said about what God is saying to us this morning. Jesus said, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except that were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." I'm telling you, Brother Wayne, it was dark. The evils were, the leaders were wicked. They were ungodly. But Jesus, in the middle of it all, he said, "There's no power at all except it be given you from above." And here's what I want to tell you. Glory to God. You go on and you read the story. And they nailed him. They spit on him. They gambled for his garments. They nailed him to that old rugged cross. God, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, for 3 hours, right in the middle of the day, he put the lights out. I mean, I believe it was so dark you couldn't see your head in front of your face. It was great darkness. We're living in a time right now when it seems like it's getting darker by the day. But can I tell you this? Take heart. Take hope. Because in just a few days, glory to God, the greatest darkness this world has ever seen was overcome by the greatest light that this world has ever seen. There they were, supposing him to be the gardener. Jesus said, "Mary." Hallelujah. How many's glad for that day when he called your name? Can I tell you this, beloved? There would be no Aaliyah getting saved last Sunday, no preacher getting saved in 1987 without that time of darkness. God is trying to encourage his people this morning. Pray for those that are in authority. He said, "Preacher, they're wicked. That ought to cause us to pray harder." God can still, by the grace of God, change hearts. We ought to, beloved, this morning, listen. We ought to pray. We ought to do what God wants us to do, regardless of what's going on in the world around us. Turn to Luke chapter 23 for a moment. Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus is being crucified. I'm going to get me a sip of water. Jesus is being crucified. I want you to see this with me. In verse 33, when they were, excuse me, verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, I don't know about you, but I rejoice in a place that's called Calvary. That's where Jesus, the one you sang about, Sister Laura, that you can't wait to see, that's where he took your place. That's where he took my place. That's where he took Landon's place. Watch this. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see the attitude of the Son of God right in the middle of all that's going on. Isaiah said, his visage was so marred more than the form of any man. Here's a man that looks like a piece of meat hanging on a pole. And he cries, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In this time of darkness, beloved, listen. Peter was out there with the enemy, warming his hands. I don't know him. No, not me. I don't know him. No, no, that wasn't me. I'm not one of them Galileans and the cop crew. Y'all remember the story, don't you? John was standing right there at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Brother Grizzle, their hearts had to be broken. Looking up there at the darling Son of God that they had walked with. She had given birth to him. And John had laid his head on his bosom in the upper room. They're looking up there at their Savior. I don't know if the thought ever crossed their mind that day. There could be no power but of God. I believe their hearts were broken. They may have been praying for Jesus. They may have been praying for some sort of relief like you and I would for our loved ones that are suffering. I don't know. Maybe John had heard the Sermon on the Mount so closely, Brother Gary, that he stood there and said, oh God, would you help these people to understand what they've done? In other words, Jesus said, pray for them. And what's Jesus do? He sets the example. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. This will help you. Every illegal ballot, every ballot where the signature didn't match, everything that was tampered with, every dead person that voted. You say, now, Pastor, it wasn't enough to overturn the election. I don't know. I really don't. After Georgia, I'm prone to believe it wasn't. I believe there's people that's too sorry to walk from here to that back door back there and stand in line for 10 minutes to vote that would mark something on an envelope and mail it back as long as you paid the postage. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't say stuff like that. This country is full of sorry people.
Adrian Rogers said in 1984, when half the people in a nation get the idea, I don't have to work because somebody's going to take care of me, and the other half get the idea, what's the use to work because somebody's going to take it from me. He said, that, dear friend, is about the end of any nation. You say, Pastor, that don't give us hope. That don't encourage us. It ought to, because the King is coming. The United States of America, as far as this pastor can tell, is not even seen in Bible prophecy. We're eating ourselves from within. They used to think it's some kind of nuclear something's going to come. No, I believe it's just like a cancer. Just eating within. Devouring. Biting one another, devouring one another, because we have no central guideline. Pastor, you have no right to say that sodomy's wrong. Tell that to Jesus. Pastor, you have no right to say, young people ought to just be able to shack up. You've got nothing to say. You should never say anything about it. Tell that to Jesus. Pastor, these people that are stealing, you shouldn't say anything about stealing. Tell that to Jesus. God's men are called to preach God's book, just like it is. There's no power. I don't know if this don't help anybody else. It's helped this pastor in this dark time that we're living to realize God is still on the throne. It's shaping up. I'll tell you something to look for. Let me give you something in Bible prophecy to look for. Watch this now. Watch for the day, Brother Michael. And by the way, there's a whole lot of people on the liberal side. You can call it the left or whatever you want to call it. There's a whole lot of people that just don't have anything, Brother Wayne, for the Jews. Watch for this in our country when we turn our back on that little nation. Watch for it. Oh, honey. You can't know the day, the hour when Jesus is coming. He said, but look at the trees. You can tell when they're budding out. It's fixing to be spring. We don't know the day or the hour. But if we can't see the seasons, there's something wrong with us. Amen. It ought to be an exciting time for you and I to be a child of God. Are y'all okay? Can I have a few more minutes? Watch this now. He said, now, Pastor, you have taught us that we ought to pray for those, we ought to submit to those. He said, now, Pastor, what if what they're telling us to do conflicts with the Word of God? How many already knows the answer? Let me show you what I mean. Turn with me to Acts, please, chapter number, I believe it's Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Just over before the book of Romans. God's trying to help us. Acts chapter 5. In verse 17, I'm not going to read it all. It's later than I thought it would be. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Let me just say this to you real quickly. Isn't it amazing that what some got out of this, including the president-elect, is that the police weren't rough enough on these people at the Capitol? Had they been a Black Lives Matter group, they would have been a lot, I say, gag-a-maggot, Mr. Biden, amen? You're making me sick. I just told my wife on the way, there wouldn't be no house. If you'll notice, everywhere they went this summer, they burned it down. A man stand up out of one side of his mouth, say he wants to unite the country, and then stand up and say something like that has no interest in uniting the country. And I'm going to give you something else. You don't have to believe me. He said it with his own mouth. You know where he got the idea? His granddaughter. Let me tell you something. Grandchildren aren't supposed to be leading the adults. The adults are supposed to be leading the grandchildren. Same with the children. There's too many so-called Christian homes in our land where the children are ruling the roost. Amen. You say, preacher, did you mean to say that? No, but the Spirit of God did. It needed to be said. That's where he got the thought. Just listen to what he says. Hear the indignation. There's indignation. By the way, let me just say this. Brother Gary, they could care less. Even when it was somebody's business that was a black man or a black woman that was being burned down, all over America, they could care less. But when it got close to threatening them, all of a sudden, this is insurrection. It's no longer a peaceful protest. I told you in the beginning of the message, I'm against anarchy. I don't care who's doing it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. All anarchy ought to be treated the same. See, I told you, I'm against it, regardless of who's doing it. But I got news for you. The news media is not against it, regardless of who's doing it. And the left in America is not against it. What they're against is that threatens their livelihood. That threatens their, listen to me carefully, power. That's what Washington, D.C. has become about, is power. But there's no power except it be given from above. God wants you and I to remember that. Go with me now, please. I'm not going to read it all. I would encourage you to go home and read the whole chapter, chapter 5. In verse number 28, they said, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. I'm going to give you an illustration this morning. I'm not sure that they will come after somebody that's preaching in that name, in the name of Jesus. There's just too many of us. But I do believe that the time will come in America, whether it comes in my lifetime or not, and I believe it very well may come in my lifetime, they're going to say, you talk about sodomy one more time, and we're coming in. They've got their pets. Sodomy's one of them. Amen. Bristol, right here in the middle of the Bible Belt. Casinos. Nothing good's going to come out of that, folks. You can't go against the Word of God and have something good come out of it. So here's what I want to ask you. What's your attitude going to be? Where's Jim Hagee? I don't see him. Checking the door. Brother Richard, what's your attitude going to be if they come through the door? They've passed the law now. You can say whatever you want to out of that Bible, but you leave that sodomy alone or we're coming after you. Here's what I want to ask you. What's your attitude going to be if they put cuffs on this pastor and they lead him out of this building? What's your attitude going to be? Think about that for just a moment. Every one of us has got flesh. Somebody say amen. Every one of us, pastor included. I mean, I could drill him right between the eyes as he's on his way to getting it. and it wouldn't be a drill bit. But let me tell you this. I believe what that Bible is teaching, there ought to be a bunch of people here praying for them. There ought to be a bunch of people here praying for Pastor. You say, now, Pastor, you've lost your mind. Really? How many believes where they're taking me, there's going to be a jailer? If you're going to lock me up, ain't going to have to be a jailer down there, ain't there, Brother Grizzle? Could it be, Brother Grizzle, that Pastor's on his way down there to talk to that jailer? Think about that for just a moment. You say, now, Pastor, you have lost your mind. No, I believe all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. You say, Pastor, you're not going to stand. No, I'm going to stand up and preach. That's what Paul did. That's what Peter did. They beat them. You know what they did, Brother Mike? They counted it an honor to be able to suffer for his name's sake. Is that in the Bible, Brother Aaron? Was Paul and Silas down there at that Philippian jail at midnight singing and praising God and praying? When God shook the jail, he didn't just shake the jail, he shook the jailer. You say, now, Pastor, that's back then. This is now. Let me give you another example. They come to arrest Jesus, right, Brother Rose? Am I in the Bible this morning, Brother Rose? What did Peter do? Whoop! He knocked his ear off. Was it Malchus? Was that his name? Malchus? I can't believe I remember that. But anyway, he said, what he did, Brother Grizzle? He knocked it. And Jesus said, put your sword up. Our kingdom's not of this world. If our kingdom was of this world, we'd fight. Am I in the Bible? Jesus said, our kingdom's not of this world. I don't know. I can't remember exactly how it went, but I reckon if he cut it off, it had to be laying on the ground. But I reckon Jesus just picked it up. How'd you like to have been that old boy? Amen, Brother Rick. How'd you like to just witness that? It'd kind of make you want to have second thoughts about the man you're arresting, wouldn't it? Why, Brother Rick, when they put me in the squad car, the gospel might even get to one of those before we get to the jail. Well, we ain't never arrested anybody like you before. There was a state policeman, Brother Houston, a state policeman. You know the straight stretch over there, Big Stone Gap? They patrol that a lot. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I'd come to Kingsport. I'd gotten detained trying to help one of our men. And I was late getting back to pick up the children, and I had to pedal to the metal. I was doing 72 miles an hour through Big Stone Gap what is that route? 23? Is that 23? I was getting her done, Brother Wayne. I saw him on the other side of the road. Brother Wayne, he locked it up. I could see that front wheel sliding in the median. I said, fella, don't kill yourself. Give me a ticket. I'll slow down here. I went ahead, slowed down, pulled off. He come up. I remember it like it was yesterday. Willis. His name was Willis, Officer Willis. He said, I clocked you doing 72 mile an hour. I said, I don't doubt it, sir. I need your registration, all that. I give it to him. He got done writing my ticket. He said, I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to write it for 69. I said, I appreciate that, sir. And then I told him the story. I said, I'm a pastor. And I said, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I said, but I am ashamed of the way I was driving. And I told him why I was trying to get back. Instead of swallowing my pride, Brother Wayne, and calling somebody in my church and saying, would y'all pick my youngins up? I'm going to be late. That's how we are. Somebody say amen. Rather than inconvenience somebody, I'm going to get it done myself. When I got done talking to him, I said, Officer Willis, thank you for doing your job. He took a half a step back. He went like that. He said, you don't find many attitudes like that on the road. I'm not bragging on myself. But what if Officer Willis don't know Jesus? What if he found out I was a pastor and I'd give him down the road, so to speak? Or like a lot of pastors would, tried to talk him out of it before he wrote it. help me. Or I could have been like some in America, known the secret handshake and got out of it. You'll get that after a while. Wrong's wrong. And right's right. It always will be. Are y'all okay? One more thing and I'm done. Turn back to Romans, please. Hannah, it ain't always this long, honey, okay? But I've got a heart so full today. We need this. We need it. Folk, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you better be getting in. Because it's a dark time, yes, but that great light's fixing to shine in that eastern sky. Back to Romans. Never in my life, Brother Rick, have I tied the first part of Romans in with the last part of Romans 13, the first part of the chapter in with the last part of the chapter. I'm going to say this because I love you. Look at verse 8. It said, "Owe no man anything." Listen to me carefully. I believe in the times we're living in, everybody would be wise to try your best to get out of debt. It's quiet. Can a pastor not love his people and say, try your best? Don't be sinking yourself further and further and further in debt. Tie that in, beloved, with the days we're living in. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Watch this. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. What if Washington, D.C. read that like this? Love worketh no ill to the other side of the aisle. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Look at verse 11. I'm almost done. And that knowing the time, that now it is time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen, brother. I appreciate that back there. Honey, he's coming. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now I want you to think about this last verse in light of where we took you back to Calvary when Jesus wouldn't say anything. He told them, you have no power at all except to be given you from above. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all know what that means? What it means is take on his mannerisms. Take on his way of speaking. Take on his heart. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let me give you something that God spoke to my heart about. I want to thank y'all for listening. God spoke to my heart about this. All of these years, Brother Grizzle, that lust of the flesh, making provision, all I could think about is that verse up there, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. And let me tell you something right now. You go back to the first of the chapter, said the powers that be are ordained of God. Is that right? Timothy taught us that we ought to pray for them. When we don't, we're making provision for the flesh. When we rebel, we're making provision for the flesh. In other words, I know it's the law. You say, preacher, if you know it's the law, why don't you do it? Because if they pass that law, it contradicts the Word of God. And so, Brother Rick, we must continue to preach the Word of God. That's what Peter did. They said, don't you speak in His name. And what'd they do? So to speak, they just stepped on the gas. Sounds like some culture would say, don't it? Amen. Jesus. He said, don't preach in His name. Then he said it six times. Jesus. Amen. We ought to obey God rather than man. But now, if they come through here, if the flesh has its way, they get it between the eyes. If God has His way, somebody help me. When they come to arrest Jesus, I don't have this kind of power. You understand, I'm not the Son of God. But Jesus spoke to them, brother. I mean, they were warned over and over, Brother David. When He just spoke to them, they fell backwards. He didn't have to yield to them. You say, why did He? Because He loved me and you. Because that first Sunday in 2021, He saw a young lady that needed some peace in her heart. He said, the only way she's going to get it is if I go to that cross. Amen? How many's glad you come this morning? It's a lot to chew on, ain't it? It's a lot to chew on. You say, well, preacher, should I protect my family? Yes, you should. Preacher, you believe in the Second Amendment? Nobody believes in it stronger than I do. Amen. I believe in the First Amendment too. Amen. I believe in the Constitution. But I believe the Bible. If God's people, I believe there's enough. I believe there's enough in the remnant of God's people, true, born-again Christians, if we get serious about praying for those, I believe God could change some hearts. It'd only take one, just the right one. I mean, look what happened when Paul got his heart changed, when Saul met Jesus. Only take one. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for Your people. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for our country. Lord, we've got some problems in America, but still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Lord, would You help us not to destroy ourselves from within? Lord, the thought crossed my heart last week. What if everyone was praying? What if everyone, Lord, that loves You was giving? What if everyone, Lord, was doing what they could to spread the gospel message? I pray this morning, our Father, that we'll take it to heart, that You'll help us in the days ahead. Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed.